One is Deuteronomy chapter number 15, and the other is the book of Leviticus chapter number 1, so both in the first five books of the Bible there. And then I'm also going to read one more time out of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. And those of you that have been here, you know I've been preaching, I guess now you could officially call it a series of messages out of Romans chapter 12 and just verse number 1. And I think this would be 4, number 4 that I preached out of this, but I wanted to show you something that tied in from last week, and then we'll read also over in the book of Leviticus. Actually, I'm going to preach out of Leviticus, and I just want to show you how this all ties in out of Romans chapter number 12. So Deuteronomy chapter 15 and then Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I'll read that. I can actually quote it. I do have that memorized, but I'll read it so I don't mess it up this morning. Just to get us started. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And what I want to preach on this morning, there's three words there in chapter 12 and verse number 1, sacrifice, holy, acceptable. In Romans chapter 12 verse 1, sacrifice, holy, acceptable. And last week I preached out of Deuteronomy chapter number 15. Let's read over there this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verses 16 and 17. This is what I preached on last week. And I said this is an illustration of what that means to be a living sacrifice. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 16, the Bible says, and it shall be that if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear under the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. And that is a picture, that's an illustration of what a living sacrifice is. That servant said, I don't want to go away from my master. I want to live here forever. I want to serve him forever. But this past week I was reading and through the Bible, and just in my Bible reading I come across this passage of Scripture, and I read on down. Look in verse number 19 what the Bible says. It says, all the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flock thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Now, in verses 16, 17, and 18, you have a living sacrifice, but in verses 19, 20, and 21, you have a holy sacrifice. What it means to have a holy sacrifice without blemish, it says there in those verses. So that's where we're going to start at today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Father, we just thank you so much for letting us be here today. And Lord, I believe that everybody that you let be here today, God, you let them be here for a reason. And God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts and help us as only you can. We're thankful, Lord, for the beautiful sunshine that's come out and the day getting better as it goes on. But Lord, as we come today, I pray you'd help us just to get our thoughts and minds off the things of this world and onto the things of God for a little while. Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to really understand what it means in the Word of God when we talk about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve you, and I'm thankful, Lord, for the Word of God. And I pray you just give liberty and help me to preach this morning, and anything, Lord, that I need to say, I pray you'd impress it upon my heart. And the things that I don't need to say or be concerned about this morning, help me, God, just to be led of thy Holy Spirit and pass over those things. But, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I really think we need this more than anything else in these days in which we're living. And so I pray you'd have your way in our hearts right now. Lord, all the many objects that's been mentioned, God, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with each and every one of them, especially Lauren as she goes to have her surgery tomorrow. God, I just pray you'd be with her in a very real and a very special way and her family. And Lord, we pray for Brother Stephen and his family as they have the funeral for his dad this afternoon, and be with them. We'll thank you for all you do, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read there verse number 21 one more time. I just want to point out something about this sacrifice that he talks about here. He said, and if there be any blemish therein, we're talking about a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. And he said, if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Now, turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter number 1, and that's where we'll spend the rest of the time this morning, in Leviticus chapter number 1. I will refer back to that in just a little bit, but we're going to read a few verses over here in the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, while you're turning over there, that's the third book in the Old Testament, the third book in the Bible, and this is God's textbook, fully illustrated. Now, what I mean by that is you read the book of Leviticus, and if you are a kind of person, as you read something, you can imagine it in your mind. There's a lot of pictures in the book of Leviticus. There's a lot of instruction in the book of Leviticus. In fact, it's God's textbook on sacrifice and offering. No other book in the Bible mentions those words more than the book of Leviticus does. Sacrifice, sacrifices, and offerings. This is what the book of Leviticus is about. It's about the Levitical priesthood and how that they were supposed to carry out their office and the sacrifices and the offerings. Now, in Leviticus chapter 1 in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says over there, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. And so right away it starts talking about bringing an offering unto the Lord. Now, there's something in verse number 1 I want to point out. It said, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, this is completely different than the way the Lord spoke unto the children of Israel earlier in the Bible. When they came out of Egypt, they didn't have a tabernacle. They were just wandering in the desert there. They were on their way to the promised land, but we know to this morning that, you know, they didn't make it all the way to the promised land. But we see over in Exodus chapter number 19 that God spake unto them, the Bible says, out of the mountain. If you know anything about how God spoke unto them out of the mountain over in Exodus chapter number 19, and I'm not going to read over there for sake of time, but it says that phrase. It said, and the Lord spake unto them out of the mountain. And they had been 3 months out of Egypt, and when God spoke to them out of the mountain, He gave special instructions unto Moses, and the Bible says that God told Moses, He said, go down and tell the people. In fact, He told Moses, He said, go down and make borders around the mountain. He said, tell the people not to come near the mountain, not to touch the mountain. And the Bible says there was a thick, dark cloud. The Bible says that there was thunderings and lightnings and that the mountain did quake. There was an earthquake on that mountain. And God told Moses, he said, you go down and set a border around this mountain. And when God spoke to him out of the mountain, he said, you tell them not to come near the mountain, not to touch it. And if they touch it, they're going to die. That's a lot different than the way God spoke to him here. Out of the tabernacle, you see Sinai in the Bible, Mount Sinai, that's where God gave the law unto Moses. And let me tell you something this morning, you do not come to God by the law. In the law or under the law, there is only condemnation and threatenings and thunderings and lightning and quakes and threat of death under the law. You don't come unto God by the law. But there's a lot of people out here in the world, they're trying to approach God by the law, and you just don't come to God by the law. And so God said in His mercy unto them, He said to Moses, He said, now I'm going to come down on the mountain and I'm going to speak to you in a voice so all the people can hear and they'll all know that I spoke to you, but you tell them, you warn them not to touch this mountain. If they do, they'll die. That's the law. God spoke to him there in His mercy because that represents the law, and you don't come to God by the law. But let me show you something. In Leviticus, the Bible said that the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, now when He spoke to them out of the tabernacle, the message is completely different. When God spoke to them out of the tabernacle, He spoke to them from the mercy seat. And He didn't say this time, don't come near. In fact, He said, I want you to come very near. And I'm going to tell you how to come very near unto me. You know, a lot of people, when you talk about serving God and living your life for God, they have that image of in their mind of the mountain that did quake. And they think that God is angry and that God is ready to just strike them down for anything in their lives. And they feel like, you know, this is something I have to do against my will. And if I don't obey and listen and do what God's asking me to do, then He'll bring judgment in my life. But they've got a wrong concept of the God of heaven. The God of heaven that calls unto us from the mercy seat. And that's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He invites us to come near, very near unto Him. And so He said, called unto Him out of the tabernacle, the congregation, from the mercy seat. And I want to tell you, it's the mercy seat, and it's because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary and the offering of His precious blood that you and I can be invited to come near unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because of Him and His sacrifice that our life lived unto Him can be a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. It's not because of anything we've done. It's because of what Jesus Christ done upon the cross of Calvary. And if my life is to be a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, then my offering unto Him, it's got to be patterned after His offering. It's not something that each and every one of us just makes up our minds, you know, well, I think I want to live for God. I think I'll do it this way or that way. No, we've got to come God's way or we'll not come at all. And so there's a pattern here in the Word of God of how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and how our offering of our life can be a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Our offering must mimic, be patterned after His. Now, let me show you some things here about this offering in Leviticus chapter number 1. First of all, let's begin reading in verse number 3. First of all, the offering must be without blemish. He said there in verse number 3, if His offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. So God says here in his textbook on offerings, he said, if any man would come unto me and offer a sacrifice, he has to offer a sacrifice without blemish. You know, that means without a spot. That means it has to be holy. Does that remind you of anything over in the New Testament talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? That He's the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. He's a type of He is the perfect sacrifice, the offering of His soul unto God. And our lives, as we come to offer our lives and our offering unto the Lord, it needs to be holy. Our lives ought to be holy before God. God puts a great emphasis upon holiness, and He said it has to be, if He comes and makes an offering, it has to be without blemish. Said the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 15. We read it over there in verse 21. It said, and if there be any blemish therein, and He gives three examples. He said, if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind, or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Now, these three things over there, God said, if it has any of these things, don't sacrifice it to the Lord. He said, number one, He said, if it be lame. You know what that means? That means if it's injured, or if it has a defect in its body, and if it's lame, it can't walk right. No, when we think about offering our lives as a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, you know what? Our walk ought to be right. He said, if it's lame, if its walk is not right, don't sacrifice it unto the Lord. There's a whole lot of preaching right there. Brother Dale said this morning, he said, since we didn't have Sunday school, you can just preach 2 hours. He didn't know how. Well, I could. If my voice would hold out. He said, if that offering, if it's lame, if it don't walk right, don't sacrifice it unto the Lord. God won't accept it. It's not holy. He said, if it doesn't walk right, He said, if it's lame, He said, or blind. You know what that means? If it can't see right. He said, or if it has any ill blemish in it, He said, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy good. If it does not walk right, if it does not see right, if it just does not look right, when you look at it and you look at that animal and you say, you know, there's something wrong with that animal. I can't put my finger on it. But there's something wrong with it. He said, don't sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. My goodness, I don't have time to preach all that this morning, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of activity in this world takes place under the banner or under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also under that banner, there's a lot goes on. The walk's not right. It doesn't look right. It doesn't see right. God said, don't sacrifice that unto the Lord. He's not interested in that. He doesn't want that. You know, when I got saved when I was 9 years old. And I'm thankful that God saved me when I was 9 years old. But I lived many years, those early years of my Christian walk, and I lived a carnal life. I lived a worldly life. I didn't live a life that was walking in step with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. I could have fell under the category very easily of being a Laodicean Christian. I thought I was doing pretty good. But I wasn't measuring my life by the Word of God. I was measuring my life by looking around at other people that I seen in church and other young people that I saw that were supposed to be Christians. And I lived by my life, measuring my life by their life, not by the Word of God. And you know what? At first, for a while, I thought, well, I'm doing all right. But you know what changed my attitude and my thoughts about that was when I began to get serious about the things of God, and I began to get in the Word of God and read His Word and measure my life to the Word of God. You know what? I found out when God spoke to me from the tabernacle, I found out I wasn't near as right with God as I thought I was. I found there was verses in the Bible like 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16 that says, as it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. God expects us to be holy. And He expects us to walk right. And He expects us to see things right. You know, one of the things about the Laodicean Christians over there in Revelation chapter number 3, they said, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. And the Lord said, you need to buy of me gold tried in the fire. They thought they could see, but God said, you really can't see right. There's a lot going on out here in the world that people think, you know, well, we're doing a wonderful thing in church or in my life, but when we measure ourselves by the Word of God, we find that we fall short of the glory of God. We don't see right all the time because we're not looking in the right place. There's ill blemishes in our life that just doesn't match up. There's just something don't look right there. Is anybody else on the Tebow bandwagon? Man, I was hoping they'd win that game last night. I really am thankful that there's a young person in America that is living their life for God, not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. I'm not throwing off. But I wish he wasn't an underwear model for jockey. And that just, my goodness. My goodness, come on now. I mean, would that be all right for the preacher to do that? I mean, here's somebody wants to live their life for God and dedicated to the Lord, not ashamed to pray in public, but he's also not ashamed to wear his underwear in public. What's wrong with us in America today that in churches we take anything under the banner of Christianity and we say, if anybody does anything, then it's all right. But there's something not right about that. I'm not throwing off. I'd like to meet the young man. I'd shake his hand. I'd say, I appreciate your testimony for the Lord, but my goodness, what's wrong with people? What's wrong with us today? God expects for us to be holy. Holy, God says. That's a lot to measure up to. He said, if you're going to sacrifice, you're going to make an offering unto me. Now, I'm not talking about somebody out here, their life is all messed up and they're on whatever and doing any old thing. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about getting right with God after you get saved. Getting right with God. Thoroughly, holy, opening up my life to the Lord and saying, God, I want to be right. He said, if you don't walk right, if you don't see right, if you don't look right, don't offer it unto the Lord. You know, when I began to measure my life by the Word of God, I found out I needed to just get right, just old-fashioned get right with God. Get some things out of my life that had me lame and had me blind and didn't look right in my life. This offering had to be without blemish. Without blemish. Well, I know we say, God, none of us are perfect and none of us are worthy. Well, we'll deal with that. But you know what I'm saying this morning? We just need a revival of getting right with God. He said it had to be without blemish. And he also said in verse number 3, as we look on down, that this offering was to be brought to the door. It said, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. There was one place to bring your offering. There was one place to begin to meet with God. And isn't it interesting that it had to be at the door? There was only, if we were to have a picture this morning of the tabernacle in the wilderness, there was a tent, and around the tent there was a fence that was constructed, and it's in a rectangular shape, and on one end there was a door, and there wasn't an exit door. It's just one door. You know what a door is a type of this morning? The door is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. A door is for only one purpose. It's for access. It's to get in. This is the way to get in into the life that God would have us to live and have in our Christian lives. Jesus said in John 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But I'm telling you this morning, we have to come by the door. Jesus said in John 10 and 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and have pasture. That means feed well. And be fed and be full. Acceptability to the Lord Jesus Christ is not by me. It's by Him. It's because of Him that we can be acceptable unto God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And we deal with that. Lord, I'm not worthy. I know that. I'm not either. You say, preacher, you don't know me and my life, and I know all about that. I'm made out of the same stuff that you are, but we're not accepted on our good merit. We're accepted at the door. We're accepted because He made the way. We're accepted because He made the ultimate sacrifice. He's the one that makes us accepted in the Beloved. It's because of His sacrifice. It's because of what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary. We're like that old song, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I have nothing to offer unto the Lord. I have no goodness in and of myself, and neither do you. We're like that song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. That's the only thing we can come and just say, Lord, I don't have anything to offer. I'm just coming because You saved me. Because You did for me at Calvary what I couldn't do for myself. I'm not worthy in and of myself. But I'm not coming on my own merit. I'm coming on the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to come by the way of the door. And so it had to be with blemish. I need to get right with God as thoroughly, completely right with God as I can. I need to come by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He's already made a sacrifice for my sins and for your sins. Look what it says there in verse number 4. It said, when He brings this sacrifice to the door, and it's without blemish. In verse number 4, the Bible said, and He shall put His hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for Him to make atonement for Him. That's one of the most vivid pictures in the Word of God. He said, when you bring your sacrifice to the door, you will take your hands and put it on its head. And that's identifying with that sacrifice. And as that offerer would stand there with his hand upon the head of that animal, they would take a knife and they would cut that animal's throat, and that animal would die in the place of that offerer. It's what Jesus Christ done for you and I. We're identified with Him in His death. We're identified with Him in His blood. We're identified with Him, and because of His sacrifice on Calvary. Can you imagine what that would be like to stand there and put your hand upon the head of an animal? And that animal be sacrificed while you've got your... It wasn't like going to the market and ordering something. And all the gory details take place somewhere else. They went right there, put their hands upon its head. If you could do that and not feel something in your bosom. I remember helping my grandfather with his sheep and having to hold them, even if they were going to shear them or something like that, and that animal cry out, and I'm telling you, your heart would go out. Well, I hate that for them. But you know what? Those that offered, they were making an offering, and that animal was dying in their place. It is a personal thing. They had to identify with that animal at the door. That's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I go on down in verse number 5. Not only did it have to be without blemish, and it had to be at the door, and they had to identify by placing their hand upon that animal, but it involved death. It said there in verse number 5, and He shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priests Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So this wasn't just some form that they would go through, but it involved an actual death of that animal. And let me say that until there was a death, it was just for looks. You know, a lot of people are living a Christian life, but it's just for looks. There's really never been a death involved. I mean, you could go down to the tabernacle in the wilderness with your offering and walk around and fellowship with everybody else all day long and talk about what went on beyond that door and talk about making an offering and talk about making a sacrifice. But until that animal died, it's just for looks. It's just a form. It's just a show. It's just a gathering together. And it wasn't really serious until they came and put their hands on it. And it said there in verse number 5, he shall kill the bullock until there's a death. Paul was right when he said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, I die daily. I die daily. You say, preacher, how am I going to live for God and be what I ought to be? I've got a lot to overcome. I've got a lot of temptation. I've got a lot of history. I've got a lot of past that I have to deal with. How am I going to do it? Daily. Daily. There's been a few times in my Christian life I have thought that I had found the key to the Christian life. And I now knew how to have victory in my Christian life, and I had obtained, or I had found something that few others had found. And you know what? You know what I found out after just a few days? I'm still made of the same stuff. I mean, you can read 10 chapters a day or 10 verses a day, and the only thing that matters is if that got in your heart. But what I did 10 days ago is not going to help me tomorrow. Paul said, I die daily. If you're going to live for God, you're not going to do that just by accident, just by wandering through life and accidentally doing something that you ought to do for the Lord. You're going to have to do some things in your Christian life if you're going to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You're going to have to get up, not be lazy in your spiritual walk. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to look up every day to the Lord in prayer. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to look up. You're going to have to fess up. You're going to have to say first thing every day, God, I cannot do this in and of myself. You're going to have to dress up with the Word of God and get clothed in the spiritual armor provided for us as the children of God. And you're going to have to fill up with the Word of God. And you're going to have to do that day after day after day. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. So what if somebody's a good preacher 2 months ago or heard a good message? It doesn't do any good if we don't live that each and every day of our lives. And it involves a daily death. And he said, he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And it involves death. It involves something else in verse number 5. It involves the blood. He said there, he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. If you read the book of Leviticus, you're going to find some things in there. You're going to find the word sacrifice. You're going to find the word offerings. You're going to find the word holy, and you're going to find the word blood. All throughout the book of Leviticus, all of these things were accomplished. That Levitical priesthood was completely useless apart from that blood. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. It's the blood that cleanses. You know, I don't understand everything about the blood. I can't explain to you this morning everything about the blood, but I promise you this morning I do believe all that the Word of God says about the blood. And I believe that old song, there's power, there's power, there's wonder working power in the blood. takes the blood of Christ to save us. It takes the blood of Christ to seal us. It takes the blood of Christ to secure us. It takes the blood. And without the blood, there's no real relationship with God except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed His blood upon the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be sanctified, so that we could offer a sacrifice wholly acceptable unto the Lord. Hebrews 9, or the book of Hebrews, is the parallel book to the book of Leviticus. It talks much about the blood in the book of Hebrews. And it said in Hebrews 9 and 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats, talks about that, if in the Old Testament they would take the blood of bulls and goats to the sanctifying and purifying of the flesh, if it took the blood of bulls and goats, he said in verse 14, he said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, the Holy Spirit of God takes the truth of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and applies it to our conscience, applies it, gives us the knowledge to know that we can't live for God apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes the blood. It takes the blood of God's dear Son to wash our sins away and to cause us to have victory in our Christian lives. Revelation 12 and 11, talking about the tribulation saints, it said, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You know, you've heard preachers talk about pleading the blood. You want to have victory in your life, in your Christian life, and you have some problem that you can't get over, you know what? You're going to have to learn what it means to plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. If you find that you can't pray and get where you need to be to pray, plead the blood. Come not because you know you need to pray, but come because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they took that blood and they sprinkled it there upon the altar. It was important. It was necessary. They had to have the blood. It involves the blood. There's a certain order also I notice in verses 6, 7, and 8. I want to read those verses. There's an order in which all this had to be done. The Bible said in verse 6, and He shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. That means they would take that offering and they would cut it up into pieces. And verse 7 said, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. Now, I underlined that in my Bible. This all had to be in order. Verse number 8, the Bible said, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. And everything had to be done in order. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. You know, my life, if I'm gonna live my life a sacrifice wholly acceptable unto the Lord, it needs to be done in order. God has a way. Somebody says, well, I want to do something for God. I'm going to start a ministry. You know what? God already started a ministry. It's called the church. And anything that's not done through the local church, I look and suspect that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has an order in all things. And we don't come along to the Lord and say, now, God, I want to do this. We come along to the Lord and say, Lord, like Paul, what wouldst thou have me to do? He's got an order. He's got an order in how he does everything. And a sacrifice unto the Lord is no different. My life needs to line up with the Word of God. God has an order. God has a way of blessing. We need to follow that in our lives. There's a certain order. I look on down in verse number 9. The Bible says this. I noticed something else that's interesting there. It said, but his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, I don't want to be so graphic this morning that I turn you off, but What they were talking about there was taking that animal and taking its inwards out of it and washing its inwards in water and cleaning all the inward parts of that animal off before they laid it back in order upon the altar. So they would take the animal, they would sacrifice the animal, they would pour out the blood of the animal, and they would flay the animal and cut it into pieces. Then they would take that animal that they'd cut into pieces, they would wash all of its inward parts, and you know what's inside. And they would take its head and lay it back where it was supposed to be, on the altar. And they would lay its organs and they would lay all the pieces back out just like the animal was before. But now it's been killed, its blood's been shed, and it's been washed on the inside and laid back on that altar. And then it would be burnt on the fire that was in that altar, and they would burn it there up on the altar. Now the inwards had to be washed. What I'm talking about this morning, when I talk about our life being a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, I'm not talking about just an outward show of the flesh. There's a lot of people going through the motions, live the life. They would take the name of Christian. But this thing of being a Christian, it's not just something that we adhere to outwardly and live any old way that we please inwardly. God is interested in the inward parts being washed. David said in Psalms 51:6, when he had sinned against God and he came and confessed and prayed to God, he said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." That's what God's interested in. Clean inwards, our inside. You say, "God, preacher, is God interested in my guts?" Is that what that means? He's using that as a picture of our heart. It goes on, it says over in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33, he said, "After these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And will be their God, and they shall be my people." Hit what God's talking about. He's talking about the cleanliness of the inward man. Our heart. Our secret thoughts. The part of us that nobody else can see this morning. Proverbs 20 and verse 27 said, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Say, "Preacher, there's something about me you don't know. Preacher, there's something in my life that my family doesn't know, my wife doesn't know, my husband doesn't know, but I'll tell you something, God knows. God knows." If you've got a spirit in you, and every one of us do, you know what that is? That's God's candle. That's what Proverbs 20 and verse 27 is. And God uses your spirit to God. It's not hid. It's like a candle in a dark room. God says, "I know what's going on in your life. I know what your secret problem is. I know what your sin is. I know what your temptation is. I know what causes you to trip and fail every time." And God says, "Just bring that to me, and I'll wash it up. I'll clean it up." That's what God said. "I will put my law in their inward parts." God said, "I'll replace that with the word." If something goes out, something has to come in. If something just goes out and something good doesn't come in, something bad will just come replace it. If you'll take that Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God begin to put that in, you will find that there is a cleansing of the inward parts when we get into the Word of God. He wants our inward parts to be clean. It's not just an outward show of the flesh. That doesn't impress God whatsoever. The inward parts must be washed. And then in verse number 9, look at that. There's one other thing I want to show you there. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water." Water's a type of the Word of God, by the way. "And the priest shall burn all on the altar. To be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." There's a little word there, a little three-letter word that I've underlined in verse number 9, and it's that word "all." What's God want on the altar? What's God want out of our lives? Just all of it. Just all of it. I mean, after all, he died on the cross to say he's made us a home in heaven. He said in the Word of God that we'll be his temple in this world. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We looked at that last week. So what does the Lord want out of us in Romans 12 and 1 when Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You, preacher, what's that mean? What's God want? God wants it all. God wants it all. We tend to come to the Lord and pick out some parts we're willing to sacrifice to Him, but God said, all. God wants it all. There's been many times in my life that I thought that I'd given my all, but after some later inspection and the shining of the Holy Ghost upon my life, I found out there's something else I hadn't put on the altar. There's been a lot of times in my life I've come and said, God, I want to give my all. God, I want you to take me. God, I want you to use me. Lord, here's my life. And a little later on, I come back and find out, Lord, I didn't nearly give as much as I thought I did. All is a big word. All means everything. It means my family. It means my mind. It means my heart. It means my future aspirations. It means my dreams. It means my finances. It means everything about me. All. All on the altar. They put the whole thing and didn't hold anything back. It's got to be all. We sing that song as you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Leonard Ravenhill, I've mentioned this before, his book on God's Way to Revival, he said this world needs more than weekend missionaries with cameras. Boy, I've thought a whole lot about that. There's a lot of people out here under the banner of Christianity. They'll give up a weekend every once in a while, go take some pictures, come back and say, them poor people, this world needs more than that. This world and God expects and asks out of us some that'll just come and say, I'll give it all, Lord, everything. Everything. My future, my career, my talents, my time, my voice. My strength, my mind, Lord, I'll give it all. I'll point out a few things and I'll be done this morning. He said in verse number 3, I want to just point, I didn't mention this before, but he said in verse number 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. There's nobody. There's no preacher, there's no church going to come along and twist your arm and make us do what we ought to do before a holy God this morning. God wants it to be a voluntary offering of His own voluntary free will. People come and say, preacher, will you go talk to so-and-so? I'd be glad to go and talk to so-and-so, but I'll tell you, if they don't make up their own mind what they're going to do, my talking isn't going to do any good. His own voluntary will. That's why it's called a free will offering. Nobody twisted my arm. Nobody made me. Nobody in my family's pressured me to do what Romans 12 and verse number 1. There's just a holy God in heaven kept coming along and knocking on my heart and saying, what are you going to do with your life? If you'll give it to me, I'll use it. If you'll give it to me, I'll use it. It was a voluntary offering. I like in verse number 4 what it says. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And notice this. It shall be accepted for him. I believe with all my heart God's accepted my prayers sometimes when I didn't really even understand all I was praying about or what God was expecting out of me. But just in a heart of this is as much as I know. This is the light that I have. God, I want you to help me. I want you to take me and use me. And God knows I wasn't putting it all on the altar, but I thought I was. And God said, I'll take that. I'll take that and work with it, and I'll show you the rest when we get to it. God's a good God. He said, I'll take it. If you come and your heart's right and you're living up to the light that you have this morning, God said, I'll accept it. I'll accept that offering. And I like what it says in verse number 2. We back on up. He said, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you... Oh, that's just for preachers. Well, that's just for missionaries. And that's just for deacons or old people. No, God said, if any of you, any of you, anybody out there, and all the children of Israel, all the young people, all the families out there, God said, if any of you comes and brings that offering, I'll accept it. I'll take it. Boy, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? We praise God for whosoever salvation. You know what? There's whosoever will come and will give their life. God said, I'll take them and use them. I'll take them and use them. I'll accept their sacrifice. And so there's a great many lessons we could learn about the offering there and what it means to be a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. And I want to close by saying this morning, that here is the great stumbling block of 2012, Laodicean church age, Christianity in America. I'll tell you where we are tripping and falling over and over and over again. You know what it is this morning? Most people will hear a message like that, hear somebody else preach, read their Bible. Most people will say, well, preacher, that's right. I need to do better. I need to be more dedicated to the Lord. I need to give my life more to the Lord. I need to pray. I need to read. I need to get rid of the junk out of my life. I need to do that. But we don't see it as sinful that we don't. That's where we are. That's where we're. That, I believe with all my heart. That's the stumbling block in our lives. People say, that's right. Amen. But we don't see it as sinful that we don't. Well, is it? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Preacher, that's right. I need to do that. And then we go home and there's a football game and there's bad roads and going to eat and Monday and through the week and we just, and it's gone. We don't see it as sinful that we don't, but it is. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.